God's word to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is on page 442 in the Pew Bibles. And I'm going to read verses 21 through the end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning at verse 21 to the end of the chapter, hear God's word. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your ways, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hands to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. And here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May God bless that to our hearts this evening. one of the first video games that was widely played was a game in the 1980s called Pitfall. And some of you might remember Pitfall. It was for the Atari. And there was a character named Pitfall Harry, and he was seeking treasure in a jungle. You had 20 minutes to land in the jungle and to find the treasure. And Pitfall Harry would fight against snakes and scorpions and hazards, including quicksand and logs that just sort of rolled out of nowhere. And Pitfall Harry would have to jump over all of these things on his way to find this treasure that was at the end of the game. The world is full of pitfalls. The world has many obstacles that cause us to fall and to stumble and struggle through life. The consequences of sin and sin itself are often those pitfalls that affect the Christian in the Christian life. Now, in today's section of the book of Proverbs, we're looking at Proverbs 3, verses 21 through 35, and we'll see that in verses 21 through 35, that Solomon calls on his hearers to avoid these pitfalls, to look and know the common pitfalls of this life, and to be prepared for those, and to live out this life of wisdom, to live out this call to love God and to love neighbor. So this is what is before us today, a call to watch for pitfalls and then to live out our Christian life in wisdom. We're going to begin with looking at verses 21 through 26. And we're going to begin with the pitfalls that we see before us. Listen to those words again. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So Solomon begins in verse 21 as he unfolds these pitfalls. He says to let them not depart from your eyes. So to look out onto the Word of God, to look out onto wisdom, and to look out onto discretion, and to keep wisdom found within God's Word before your eyes. That's verse 21. We are to hold the Word of God closely. And as we hold the Word of God closely, we find ourselves more and more prepared to not fall into these common traps or pitfalls that our neighbors and others around us seem to fall into. One said, "Let not your eyes wander after vain things. Have wisdom always in mind. Be ever and always thinking on the Word of God and conversing with them, and never imagine that you have looked upon them long enough that it's time to lay them aside. But as long as you live, keep up and cultivate your acquaintance with them. He who learns to write must always have his eyes upon the Word." Friends, this is our calling as Christians. As we think about the wisdom that we're called to live out, and if we are to be men and women and boys and girls of wisdom, we are going to have to be, you are going to have to be people that keep God's Word close to you, so that as things come at you in this life and the reactions that you give, the things that you are able to give in reaction will only be rooted in God's Word if you are prepared for those things. In ethics, we talk about preparation and how we need to be prepared for certain ethical situations and think through ethical things before those events happen. Because if you're in the middle of some sort of ethical crisis, that is not the time to begin to think through what you hold dear and what you value. We are to know before, so that when those situations come into our lives, we know that here's what God's Word says. So you don't want to be in the middle of a situation or have a pitfall where you're falling into the pit and in your mind saying, "How am I going to get myself out of this?" while you're falling. See, the Scriptures call us to keep the Word of God before our eyes, to have wisdom and discretion. As the Word of God is before your eyes, you're presented with this possibility of life that you will not find yourself constantly falling into errors and falling into fears and falling into the faulty lies of this life or the terrors that affect so many in the struggles that they have. God says that you will grow in this wisdom that is called to adorn you. Look at 22 and 23. We've already heard this imagery in the book of Proverbs before, but we're reminded of this again, that God's wisdom is going to be a word of life to your soul and grace to your neck. It's going to be a beautiful adornment to your life that you wear and that people see and notice. It will be something that adorns you. So we must own wisdom. We must own and grow in wisdom. And as we do that, we are able to avoid these pitfalls that Solomon shows us before the rest of the section. We see four benefits to these pitfalls that are to be avoided. The first is in verse 23. So four pitfalls under this category of pitfalls. The first is that we are provided safety from stumbling. That's verse 23. Provided safety from stumbling. There are these stumbling blocks and these temptations that are in the way of sinners and things that are common to man, for us to fall over and to stumble over. And you may categorically stumble over these types of sins, or you may categorically stumble over these types of sins, but as the Word of God adorns you, and as the Word of God is before your face, as you come before these stumbling blocks, you'll be able to recognize them. And the wisdom of God says that you will be provided safety from stumbling. Now, does this mean you'll never sin again if you're a Christian? Or if you do your devotions every day, you'll never sin? It doesn't mean that at all. Reference the very first sermon from Proverbs, how we understand that there is that tension of life in this world and life that is to come. But these are general principles that are given. As the Word of God is close to your heart and your mind, you will be safe from stumbling. The second is found in verse 24. Keep us from fear in sleep. Keep us from fear in sleep. Now that might seem maybe strange to some of you. Some of you may sleep very well at night and not think of fears or difficulties that come in your mind. But when the Word of God is talking about the idea of fears here, it's not necessarily meaning nightmares. It's meaning the anxieties that come into your head and come into your heart when you put your head on the pillow at night. For many of us, we live lives that are very full, and then when we finally get down to rest at the end of the night, that's when the brain starts to be filled with all the things that we need to worry about. Did I pay this bill? Is the checkbook balanced? Did I lock the door? Did I have that conversation with so-and-so? Did I do this? Did I do that? Should I do this? Should I do that? And all of those anxieties that fill our mind at night when our head is on the pillow as we reflect on our lives and think through the life that God has given us, we are reminded that in wisdom and as the Word of God is close to us, we are kept from that fear in sleep. We are able to sleep in such a way that we trust that the Lord will take care of us. That in God's providence and through God's love, we are able to rest. See, at night is when the mind most wanders. And we must have our heart reined in through the Lord and to the Lord, directed to God. And you must be willing and able to rebuke the thoughts that come into your mind and allow your mind to not be filled with those fears, but instead to have your mind filled with glorious things, reflecting on the person and work of God or the wisdom of the Word of God or other wonderful things. So keep us from fear. The third is connected to it. It keeps us from terror, trouble, and wickedness. The Word of God keeps us not only from the anxieties of sleep or the anxieties of life as we're preparing to sleep, but it keeps us from the trouble and the terrors of living a wicked life. It keeps us from the distractions that are so able to overtake us. And friends, this takes meditation. We mentioned that before as a practice worth considering, to meditate on the love of God in Christ, to meditate on all that Jesus has set apart that we may live lives for Him, things that distract us, wickedness. And the fourth is that the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. That's what we see in verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being caught. The word confidence to us sounds like boldness, right? Like, I'm confident that I'll be able to do this. But the word is better understood, even the English word is better understood, as one who is a confidant, one who comes alongside of us, one who is there beside you, one who is a friend, who is there to pick you up, or as we might say, one that would have your back. I'm sure you have friends like that, friends that you know that no matter what you needed in this life, they would be there next to you, that they would be there to encourage you if you needed to be encouraged. They would be there to tell you that you were absolutely wrong, even if no one else in the world will tell you that you are wrong, even willing to go to jail with you if it's something that was needed. But it's this type of friend, one who was next to you, one who is with you, one who keeps you in all things, beside you and with you. Friends, this is God to us. This is actually, specifically, the third person of the Trinity to us. This is how the Spirit, which is described in terms of wisdom, is given this work, that as Jesus said that He would send a comforter, a paraclete, one who comes to stand next to you. This is the role of the Spirit of God in your life in wisdom. You are able to avoid the pitfalls by staying close to the Word of God and reading the Scriptures through the lens of the Lord Jesus. And that one who in life, when that friend is needed, that God promises that He will be there for you in this. But I want you to understand that in this section of Proverbs, this growth in wisdom and application that is here given is something that is not merely personal growth or personal application. I think sometimes when we think about the Christian life, we're sort of automatically set to say, what's in it for me? How am I going to grow? How can I apply this? And it's very me-centered in application. And so far, that's what this section has given us, right? It's saying, you study the Word of God, you stay close to wisdom, you grow in this, and what's going to happen is that you are going to be protected from this, and you are going to be protected from that, and you are going to be protected from this, and you are going to be protected from that. So very centered on personal application. But what I want you to notice, secondly, is that it actually also goes out, and we'll call this patronage as well. You and I are to patronize, in the best sense of the word, the law of God, the wisdom of God, and we are called to bring that out to those around us and to our neighbors as well. So it helps us to avoid the pitfalls, and it helps us to patronize those around us. Look at verses 27 through 35. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in the power of your hand to do so, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it. When you have it with you, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but the house, his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. So this whole section reads like the law of God, right? It reads like it could be Moses that writes this section. And the purpose of this is that we find these great principles within God's word where wisdom is to be applied to your life. Wisdom is to go out and find application in others' lives as well, not only your own. Wisdom is not self-centered. It is not merely centered on my life or for you, on your life. Wisdom is something that both blesses you and it's something that blesses others. And we see three aspects of this, or we can divide all of these little rules out into three aspects. The first is verses 27 through 28, and we could call that help your neighbor. It says, do not withhold good from your neighbor when it's in your power to do so. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come tomorrow and I'll give it back to you when you have it with you. So if there's help that's needed, you provide that to your neighbor. This is part of the application of God's word. If something is in your power to do so, do it. And if your neighbor is in need, and you say, well, you know, maybe tomorrow I can help provide that need for you. If you have the ability to provide that today, you provide that today. So help your neighbor. And then secondly, verses 29 through 30, we could call that protect your neighbor. Protect your neighbor. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. So we're called to not devise evil. We're called to not make enemies of our neighbors, but to realize that God has us dwelling in community as part of our safety, right? Maybe you're on one of those apps, like a neighborhood app, or you have a Ring doorbell, and you see that people attempt to gather around each other and to help one another because they're in the same community. And this is what we are to do as we live in community. We are to protect one another. Why does God have us live with neighbors around? Why doesn't he just have us all have, you know, 1,000 acres in the middle of nowhere? Well, the proverb says, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Neighbors are intended to help neighbors as needed. And God's word says to apply that, to bring wisdom to that. And he says, do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. All of these things calling us to apply the word of God and to apply wisdom that we would protect our neighbor. In the previous section, that we would help our neighbor. One said, it is against the laws of honor and friendship to do a man ill. Cursed is he that smites his neighbor secretly. It is a base, ungrateful thing. If our neighbors have a good opinion of us, that we will do them no harm, then we will take advantage to cheat and injure them. So we live in such a way that we are living so that the gospel would be seen, and so that the wisdom of the word of God would be seen in this way. So let's say, hypothetically, you have a dispute with your neighbor. It's like the application you never wanted. And if you have a dispute with your neighbor, you need to prayerfully and wisely try to settle that dispute in a way that both brings glory to God and helps reconcile neighbors. This is part of the application of our lives as Christians. And again, these are at times very difficult things. So thirdly, we avoid violence towards our neighbors. That's verse 31 to 32. Do not strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor. Choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination in the secret counsels with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. So avoiding violence towards. So this whole section of Proverbs is telling us that we take wisdom and we not only apply it to ourselves, but this wisdom of God's word, and the wisdom is from God's word, is to be put out there and applied for those who are around us as well. And they may not at first say, you are a godly man or you are a godly woman and I want to know your God. But they may say something like, the way your kids treated me was something that I've not seen before. Or they may see, the kindness that you showed in doing this is something that I've not understood before. Or I remember a time in Los Angeles when a neighbor woman who had one child, it was her stepdaughter, came across the street and met me in the middle of the street, literally crying and saying, I don't know how your wife stays home with five kids. How do you manage this? And she's sobbing, realizing that her life and our life are categorically different. Friends, this is how the Word of God is to be applied in those relationships so those seeds are planted that others may bring glory to Jesus Christ as well. Now, are we going to fail? Are we going to mess up? Will neighbors get up and walk away while you're trying to reconcile things? Absolutely, it happens. But we do what we can to bring that wisdom of God's word onto those situations. This proverb is teaching us to apply wisdom to us and to apply wisdom to others as well. And the whole thing is summed up in verses 34 and 35. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. You see, there's this great contrast that's put out. Those that apply wisdom in their lives, those that demonstrate wisdom in their lives, and those that just live scorning the wisdom of God and pushing the wisdom of God aside and never concerning themselves with the wisdom of God. One is going to receive the glory of inheritance that the Scriptures promise, and the other is going to stand receiving the legacy of fools. Friends, wisdom is something that is of great value to us, and it's something that is to be applied. There is grace to the humble. For those that confess their need and their lack of ability in themselves, none of us should be able to say, I know how to handle this. We need to prayerfully cling to this word and say, this word knows how to handle this. And apply that wisdom as God would have us to. And this truth is quoted in, you can look these up later, James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5, where we're told that God gives grace to the humble, and yet he scorns the proud. This is something that is a true application in all areas of life. So friends, how do you live your life? How do you live in light of who Jesus Christ is? How do you live in the context of the wisdom that is offered to you and the wisdom that you are able to have from day to day? You see, the wisdom of God centers around the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this is the wisdom that we're to be applying to our lives and seeking to apply to the lives of others as well. This world is full of pitfalls that we fall into. Some that are outright sin, some that are the anxieties that fill our hearts when our heads hit the pillow at night. And the Word of God answers that. The Word of God also answers these areas of life and what it means to live in community with other people and to bring that wisdom to them as well so that Jesus Christ would be glorified. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of God. We thank you for even applications that at times are difficult for us. And we pray, O Lord, that you would teach us to walk in such a way that Christ is glorified in our lives. Amen.